Hi, everybody. This is Sharon Jeffers. Welcome to the Mystic Oracle Radio Show. I'm going to be your host, and we're going to be spend the next bit of time together talking about the mystic science of the cards and the magic and secrets that they reveal in our lives. If this is your first time listening to my show, welcome, and thank you for being here. We are having open lines tonight. I will do short readings. I suggest, if you're new to the show, that you check out my website to get an idea of what I'm up to here. The web address is www.starofthemagi.com. The oracle that I refer to and that I'm using, I'm not laying cards out like in fortune telling. I'm using an ancient form of timekeeping that's based on the regular deck of cards and the yearly calendar and how they align with each other and how that alignment reveals, according to our birthdays, our life paths and destinies. So for those of you that are new, welcome. I'm so excited that all of you are here tonight. I know that many of you are familiar with my work through my books I think that's all I have to say about that. You can check out my books. I have a link for them on my products page at Amazon because I don't sell them myself. And I also have an iPhone application, Cards of Destiny, which is fabulous and starting to take off like wildfire. And I have a greeting card line. I have all sorts of things going on. I just, you know, I'm the King of Diamonds. My spirit card is the Three of Clubs. It's the card of mental creativity. So I like to create things and spread the word with this system. And, you know, I was thinking earlier, I was having a conversation with my son, and we were talking about Tiger Woods. And he is an Ace of Hearts. His birthday is the 30th of December. There's only one Ace of Hearts birthday in the entire calendar year. And my son, for years, he's always figuring out athletes' birthday cards, and, you know, he used to do this thing where he'd say, "Tell me about somebody born on this birthday. What would they be like?" And I'd ask him, "Is it a man or a woman?" Because we really do express the cards differently as men and women, male and female. And he'd tell me, and, you know, I didn't know what he was doing, you know, and I'd be talking and telling him, and he'd go, "Wow, that's really accurate. Well, who are we talking about? Oh, Kobe Bryant, you know, or Michael Jordan or somebody." So the other day, he started up this conversation with me about the Ace of Hearts. And he was talking to me about, he said, "Would the Ace of Hearts dominate in their field?" And I said, "Well, they'd be likely to, because their spirit card is the Ace of Diamonds, and the first card in their life path is the Ace of Diamonds. They are the Ace of Hearts. They have a lot of ace energy, and, you know, they're in Jupiter, and they have the Eight of Spades behind them in their life path. So there's a lot of energy that's really directed and focused with tremendous intent." And he said, "Well, you know, LeBron James is also an Ace of Hearts." Now, remember, this is one birthday in the year. And he's dominating in his sport, which is basketball. So then we went online and we looked and we found Sandy Koufax, who, you know, set some amazing records with his pitching. He pitched the first perfect game. He, you know, he pitched like three or four in a row with no runs. I mean, he's just amazing. So, and there are people in other fields, in broadcasting, many different fields. It's very interesting to explore this kind of thing in the cards, because you see that there are characteristics. There are characteristics of strength, and there are characteristics of where we undermine ourselves, no matter who we are or what our card is. You know, a lot of times people will say to me, oh, I'm just a lowly two or something. I'll say there's no such thing, you know, because each and every one of us need the others, and we all embody the entire deck. It's just that the lineup of expression is different for each one of us, and we need each other to be in full expression of the entire deck. Because, you know, if you want to play cards and you're missing a card, you can't play the game. Unless that game doesn't use a whole deck of cards, and that's a different story. But when we are playing a game with the full deck of cards, if a card is missing, we don't have a deck. And these cards are really symbolic of us in time and us in the world. And so, you know, we reflect different parts of ourselves through each other, and we see ourselves in each other reflected back to us. And when we start to look at life and each other in this way, then, well, I can only speak for myself. I like to say we. I like to include everybody. I just thought of my literary agent. Anyway, so I like to include everyone because it's just my nature. My experience is when I'm really just observing as a student, because still I'm always learning from this oracle. It's quite brilliant and amazing and exciting and very secretive. And when I'm observing people as their cards or as what's going on, you know, it makes me smile, and I learn so much about myself and my friends and the cards. One of the first things that I tell my students in the first lesson that I teach in my course, my level one course, is I suggest to them that they study the attributes and the characteristics of the suits, the four suits, the hearts, clubs, diamonds and spades, and then observe people that have birth cards in each of the suits and watch the similarities and see how, you know, the two red suits, the hearts and the diamonds, when they're expressing themselves, they come at you. You know, the black cards, the clubs and the spades, their attention goes inward. They're self-reflective. You know, the clubs are in their minds, and the spades are, you know, in their determination and their wisdom. You know, and the hearts and the diamonds, the energy, if you look at people's eyes, you'll see this. I don't, you know, this is something worth everyone noticing. You can read about the four suits on my website. You can read more in depth about them in my books. However, if you start looking up people's birthdays and pay attention, just this very thing will blow your mind. If you really just watch, watch where a person's attention goes when they're talking to you. It's either going to come at you or it's going to turn into them. They'll still be looking at you, but you can see that they're thinking or self-reflecting, and that's the club and the spade. With the hearts just want to, you know, be with you. And they want to be with everybody. They're the people. And the diamonds, the red energy comes out. the black energy goes in. So that's just a little tidbit of something that you can play with. And then when you start watching the cards, my son Jonathan was on the Tonight Show a few times. And he and Jay Leno are both Six of Clubs. And their planetary ruling cards, which are cards that show characteristics of their personality and how they move in the world, they're both queens. Jay's a Queen of Hearts, I think, and John is a Queen of Clubs. So when they're standing on stage, they look like the same person, the way they're moving, the hands in the pocket, they sway back and forth, everything. They have the same exact mannerisms, and it's so fascinating to watch. This is true in all the cards. The mannerisms and the way we carry ourselves and the characteristics of expression are the same in all of us. They come out differently because we're individuals. However, you can recognize them as the same. It's really, 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 really fascinating. If you're curious, this system will keep you coming back probably for a long time. I mean, I first learned about the system in 1990, and that was 20 years ago. And it's like, I'm still curious all the time, and I'm learning all the time. It's so amazing. There's just no end, you know. Probably when I die, maybe not though, maybe not. Okay, I think I have a caller on the line. Aaron, who is the Joker? December 31st. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Sharon. How's our connection?
There's a little bit of an echo.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm calling from my cell phone. My landline's currently not working.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. It sounds okay at the moment.
Okay, let me... Is this better?
You're fine right now.
Okay.
So tell me something. Are you 36?
I will be... actually, no, I guess. Oh, gosh, man. You reminded me. I'm not 35 anymore. But I'm like, I will be on New Year's Eve, which was, of course, last year. Yeah.
You turned 36 on your last birthday.
Yes, I did.
So you have a lot of power moving you since your birthday. Like a lot of determined, powerful energy. Do you feel that?
I do, and I can even tell you the night when I felt the power shift. Are you familiar with the spirit Abraham that's channeled through Esther Hicks?
I know of Abraham, yes. I am not
Abraham.
A student.
Pardon me?
I know of who you're speaking of, yes.
Okay, well, Abraham actually came and showed me a way to move the energy that was blocked in my life.
Now, tell me something. Do you know what, that's not all that came. Do you know what time you were born?
5:51 p.m.
Okay. So, see, you have the Eight of Spades and the Eight of Diamonds behind you. They came in with your birthday, and these are powerful forces. Powerful forces of determination and brilliance and perception. I would think that your perception went through a shift, and really having to do with your personal power and knowing who you are, and also being more true to your intuition and that inner realm of who you are.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So these are the influences that came to you with your birthday at age 36. And I would say, you know, you're probably letting go of things and people that you no longer need and opening yourself up to really being This year is like a long drawn out fabulous initiation of transforming and recreating and reinventing who you are. Are you there?
I am there. I was just listening.
So do you have a question for me, or?
I do. In the coming together of all of the pieces, I feel great surges of energy, but then, you know, it can literally be one day, you know, I'm really motivated, and then the next day I just feel blocked. And I'm actually noticing that, like, around my house, you know, like, things will pile up, you know, dishes and things, and like, I feel this, like, this real inertia around moving it. And I know that that energy needs to keep moving in order for stuff to flow. And I'm just wondering if you have any insight on where that resistance is coming from and how I can work with the flow of things.
Okay. I can probably tell you exactly where it's coming from. 1, 2, 3. You know, you have some energy of the Six of Spades and the Six of Clubs. So I want to invite you, and I want to invite everybody to join in on this possibility, to take that word resistance and transform it. Because when you feel the surge of energy, it's like a wave. And then when it disappears, it's like a wave pulling itself in and gathering itself to break again. So this is energy that's calling you into dream. And to be still and be with your inner self and your imagination. And if you allow that to happen, then, and instead of, when we name something as resistance, then we usually go to battle with it. So that's not productive. You might as well just stand and bash your head against the wall repeatedly. So if you know, just embrace the feeling of, it can almost feel like lethargy. You know, it's like the stillness of, I don't want to do anything, that you just want to stop. I think about waves and surfers when I think about this energy, and I also think about lions. Because lions, they just lay around in the sun until they get hungry, and then they go kill something and eat it. So it's, you know, they're motivated. And when you feel this energy that's so still, instead of feeling that it's resistance, if you meditate or go inside and allow yourself to be still with yourself and go deeper and deeper inside without the concepts and the ideas of what all that means, just being in the experience of being with yourself, then you will naturally, when you fill up on the inside, you'll naturally be moved into action. Life is all about cycles. And, you know, we live in a society that it's driving us. It's driving us away from our true natures, whatever they are. It's different for each of us. And it's driving us away from our connection with nature in general. And we need to learn to honor our own rhythms. And I don't believe that you're experiencing resistance. I believe that you're being called to go still and be deep. And when that, you fill yourself up with that experience, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour or a whole day, you know, then you're naturally inspired to move physically, mentally, in all ways. You see?
Yes, I do.
So maybe you want to take the word resistance and, you know, write it on a piece of paper and then make little faces in each one of those letters. Little funny faces, happy faces, playful faces.
Yeah.
Give the letters arms and legs. Just turn it into something else that's playful. Because Resistance causes pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you for calling. It's wonderful to have a joker on the line. Bless you. Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you. I'm sorry about the bad connection, but I appreciate your insights.
Oh, you're so welcome. So we have Vicki from Kansas City. Kansas City. Okay, I'm not going to sing because that's not what I'm here for. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, I'd love to hear you sing.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Okay.
So are you age 61, my darling?
I am.
And you were born on the 17th of the 7th month, so you are the Jack of Clubs.
Yes, ma'am.
You knew that, right?
Yes, I do.
And let's see, July. So did you know that your planetary ruling card is the Four of Diamonds?
Yes. You told me that the last time I spoke with you.
Oh, okay. So what can I do for you, dear?
Well, I would like to know if there is a permanent relationship with a man in my near future. I am really trying to move forward. I lost my husband 3 years ago, and I am ready for a relationship and would really like to know if one is on its way.
Okay, well, that's a great question. And I think that probably this whole thing around, this is what I'm feeling with this. You have the King of Hearts in Pluto, which tells me a couple of things here. First of all, that you're still in transition. And I don't know about a long-term relationship. I think to spend time with people that you're drawn to or feel a connection with, maybe people that have had similar experiences to yours, could be highly transformational and healing for you. This is a year of a lot of change and transformation within yourself. I also suggest that you find a Jack of Clubs.
That's very hard to do.
No, nothing's hard to do if we avoid thinking that it's hard to do. I think when we think things are hard to do, then we just put a stamp on it and that's it, and we don't have the door open for the possibilities. Let me just look at your 7-year cycle. See, this is a time of tremendous transformation for you. And first and foremost, if I were you, I would be focusing on that. And then another thing that I feel, let's see, Four of Diamonds would be right here. It seems like, you know, it's also a time when your values are changing. I mean, the Nine of Spades, which is the Death card, which is, you know, what carried, you know, that's your part of this destined experience with your husband passing. It's in Pluto for you for 7 years, 56 through 62. So that's a card of spiritual initiation. And it's not a card, well, let me say it this way. This is a card that doesn't take no for an answer. And, you know, you're being recreated and rebirthed. And when I look into your next 7-year cycle, I see that, you know, it's very likely that somebody is going to come showing up. They could show up at the end of 62 or sometime in 62, more likely when you turn 63. That doesn't mean that you wouldn't meet someone now, but it feels to me like there's still a lot of transformation going on inside of you. Does that make sense to you?
Well, yes, but I feel like I'm through everything. That's why I said I'm ready now. I know I hadn't been, and I had walked away from, you know, initiations because I knew I wasn't emotionally ready. And, you know, when you said, you know, spending time with people who've had the same type of experiences, I found that to be very negative and depressing for me because they weren't handling the death. They weren't letting go of it. They wanted to keep reliving it over and over and over. And I don't. I really believe that when someone dies, it's because it was their time and they've outlived their usefulness in my life, and it's time for them to move on and time for me to move on. And so that's what I did very quickly.
Uh-huh.
But that's my personality, too.
Yes, it's very much your personality. And I think that when I said people that have experienced what you've experienced, I mean with the same consciousness that you have. Mm. Not everybody hangs on to death, obviously. You haven't.
Right.
You know? But surely, but then maybe not. I mean, do you feel that you were transformed in some way by this experience?
Oh, most definitely. Everything I believed has changed. Everything I thought was real has changed. My value system, yes, most definitely changed. The way I perceived other people and the level of trust, everything, absolutely everything you can experience has turned and totally been visited and changed.
Okay, so in order for you, you know, you're going to have to be with somebody that's had an equal experience, maybe not from the same, you know, circumstances. But you're not the same person you were before.
No, not at all.
Right. So in order for you to be in a fulfilling relationship, you're going to need to be with somebody that's got that kind of depth from experience.
Okay.
And that's what I was talking about when I said, you know, it's going to be important for you to be with somebody who's experienced something similar to you. I don't necessarily mean, you know.
Right, okay.
This, you know, still you've got, you know, a couple of months to your birthday and another year where you're really still going through transformational experiences. You want to take advantage of that.
I'm tired of it.
Okay, well, that's what we're doing here on the in the body. So maybe you want to find a way to renew your inspiration somehow because, you know, I think we're going to be working until, you know, I think we learn and grow the entire time we're here, or not. I guess we could just, you know, put our head in a hole somewhere and not pay attention to anything.
That's not helpful.
I don't think that's who you are, though.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have a tremendous amount
of it. When I said I was tired of it, I meant I'm just tired of being alone.
Okay.
I want someone to share life with and joy and be able to get up every day and be happy. That's
okay.
What I'm looking for.
Okay. Well, then I say that's going to come to you.
Okay.
And I want to invite you. I'm going to give you the title of a book. Do you have something to write with?
Yes, I do.
Okay. The book, and everybody can write this down if you want. The book is called The Law and the Promise.
Okay.
And the author is Neville, N-E-V-I-L-L-E. He just has one name, Neville, like Madonna.
All right.
I suggest you get that book. Just the first chapter, you got to wade through his made-up language and his words like imaginal and whatnot. But it's mostly stories of how people use this simple technique that he used to teach in the 50s. And it's a wonderful technique. And you just feel that man that you want to be with. And when you go to sleep at night, feel him in the bed next to you.
Okay.
Read that book for inspiration. And you're going to, you know, you're going to be in bed one night and he is going to be there and you're going to go, wow. It worked. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay, Vicki, then let me know.
All right, I will.
I think you have to order that book on Amazon because, you know, definitely not in the bookstores.
All right, it's published. All right, I'll look for it.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Okay. You're welcome.
Bye.
Is this Kaya?
Sohan, Kaya.
Kaya.
Thank you, Sharon.
Hi. How are you?
I'm so blessed. I just need to keep focusing on that. And I probably wouldn't even feel the need to talk with you because you keep gearing us all back to remembering how blessed we all are, and I so appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh.
But, I also happen to be good. Thank you, darling. Really.
Well, I didn't know I was doing that, you know. That's nice. Thank you.
Thank you. I've been in a period, I saw my card, and I saw that I'm going through a period with lots of challenge or something in the last couple of years, and it's definitely true. I mean, enough to take a mother and a Buddhist to the edge of life is, you know, someone who knows you, it's ridiculous, the idea of cutting your losses here and trying to make it somewhere else, right? So, but being taken to that edge again and again has definitely offered opportunities for transformation of the limited belief systems I've lived through so far. So I'm grateful for this time of spiritual deepening and understanding and renewal and transmuting all the dross and all that. But I'm wondering some real specific questions about helping to heal my family, and I know the best I can do is by healing myself and my own mind stream, and it'll help affect them. But I'm feeling like it'd be great to have some guidance from you in particular. So if you would be willing to review what you see with me, I'd sure appreciate it.
You know, I'm looking at your 7-year cycle, which began at 42.
Uh-huh.
And your planetary ruling card, the King of Clubs, is sitting in the Ace of Spades house, and you've got the 7 of Spades behind you. This is like a major squeeze from life.
Yeah, especially from male aspect, I've noticed.
From the what?
The male, how I transmute or meet and transmute the male aspect of my family stream and of my own consciousness, because it's been very oppressive, aggressive, violent, etc. And my family is very sick right now. And they even...
Well, is that from the aggression and the violence?
That they're sick? I think they're sick with it. I think the family stream is sick with it, and I've been doing everything I can to transmute from within myself and just keep modeling as best I can. Gentle,
okay, but it's not your... Okay, let me tell you something. It's this, you know, you can take this or leave it, but this is coming through really strong. Just raised my temperature. It's not your responsibility to heal your family.
Right.
It's theirs.
Well, right now they have my children. And they think they're, I don't know what they think, but they're misguided. And the children and I have done the best we can to keep living the life that we know as emissaries of Aloha to keep that alive and model that for our family, even though they've put us, let's see, we're just in a real compromising position, and I don't...
Okay, so they have custody of your children?
More or less. I'm not wanting to deal with the court system because it hasn't stood up for the children and it hasn't been used in the way that it's meant to be used. It's been used as a battering ram against the innocent. Goodness. And so I chose to stop following him to court and just try and deal with my family healing on another level. And their father, my children's father, is a six of diamonds. And so he's, I don't know, always trying to balance the scales and make everything fair from his perspective. And it's a very limited perspective.
Well, his perspective is likely to be, it's my way or the highway.
That's right. But better not take the high.
I don't know what's balanced or fair about that, but, you know.
Right. But you can only just take the highway so far. You can't get too far out of reach because he needs to have control still. So it's right. So I'm grappling with that, and we have a six of diamonds son, seven of clubs, a seven of diamonds, and a six of diamonds son, but I'm really rooting for them to learn the higher side of their natures. Have any thoughts on approach towards...
Well, because we're on the radio.
Yes.
And, you know, I try to keep the reading short for everybody listening. I'm going to tell you a couple of things that I see here. One is you have the Nine of Hearts as your moon card. This is for 7 years. This is very hard on a mother. This is loss or disappointment having to do with your children or family. And there's a lot of learning that goes on here for you with you. Ultimately, you know, it's possible that they would come back to you before the 7-year cycle is over. But I feel like in order for that to happen, you just have to let go and live in a real love. You cannot be a victim here. And it's very, 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 very tempting.
Yeah.
It's very tempting because of the cards that you have and the situation that you have. So...
Right.
You know, whenever we feel like we're being, you know, we're a victim of something, it's a time to stop and really look at what can we do to shift the situation in a positive way. And first of all, I mean, you have a lot of nines going on here, and those... They cause us to let go. They force us to let go. If they ask us first politely, and if we don't let go, then they start knocking us around, ripping things away. You know, they can do that. But if we respond with you know, graciousness and humility and open ourselves. And I don't, you know, I'm not talking about sacrifice here when I say humility, because I don't think we should sacrifice ourselves. But it's, you know, there's some learning here going on for you personally, and that's what's important.
Right.
This is a, you know, you've got a lot going on here. And you're 47, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Although I did try to forget my age for almost a year and try and bump myself forward 1 year to try to get out of this more quickly, I know.
No, the only way out is to be completely in it.
Right.
Because when we, you know, when we really give way and accept and embrace what's happening, it's then that it can transform. If we have any resistance to things, they can't transform because they feed off the resistance.
Right.
So, you know, we have to embrace everything with love and we don't have to. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm making some airy-fairy statement here. Acceptance is so powerful. That's what the Seven of Hearts teaches us. And to see, because we don't know, we don't have a great enough perspective to see what our karma is. And we have to learn it from the inside, because we are responsible for it, I think. You know? We didn't come here. Well, maybe some people came here just to drink pina coladas and sit on the beach. I don't know. It hasn't been my life. And I talk to a lot of people, and everyone seems to be facing challenges. And this is a time, it seems, that anything that's keeping us as a whole from being united is becoming more vivid and louder and more abrasive, so that we pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's no magic pill. There is a physical law here, though, a quantum law. Mm-hmm. And that is that once something is seen for what it truly is, without judgment, just observed, it cannot remain the same. And we've all had this experience. You be in a bookstore or somewhere, somehow you're focusing on something, and all of a sudden you can feel somebody looking at you.
Uh-huh.
Right? Your entire energy shifts and you turn in that direction to see, what is this? And right then, everything shifted. There's a name for this. The scientist, I guess, who, you know, made note of it, but I can't remember the name. But, you know, it is true that once something is seen, and we have to see it from a place of just observing. And once something is seen and acknowledged by our presence, it can't remain the same, but there can't be judgment there. So what I would suggest to you is to observe these people in your life from a place of curiosity and equanimity. Be the Buddha and just observe and see what happens.
I like your idea of writing the resistance and putting little funny faces and stuff in the letters.
Okay, yeah, that was a good idea. That just showed up in front of my mind's eye, and I went, oh, what a cute idea, I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything we don't like, write the word, and then turn them into cute little characters.
Right, and then burn it.
Brilliant. That came through when I was talking to the Jack of Clubs, you see, and that's a card of mental genius and creativity, so.
Well, there you go. You sure did.
Brought to you by the Jack of Clubs via the King of Diamonds, and now manifesting for the Two of Clubs. You see how this works? We're all in the same deck.
Hallelujah.
Yes, and aloha and mahalo for calling.
Thank you, sister. Mahalo to you for your great.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
Come home soon, huh?
Yeah, I think I might come over there soon. Why is calling? Aloha.
She sure is. Ahuyo.
Ahuyo. So, oh, my little heart is dancing in the islands of magic and love. Okay, I don't know what it is with me and my singing tonight. I apologize. But if nothing else, maybe I'm entertaining you. Yes, I like this idea of taking the word resistance and turning it into a playground of fun and laughter and joy. You know, it's a great idea. And, you know, I give you all permission to share that. It's resistance causes pain. It causes pain. We cause our own misery, you know. We really do. We're masterful at it, actually. We're quite masterful at causing ourselves misery. And then we create the misery and then we, you know, wallow in it and, you know, we sleep with it, we eat with it, you know, we talk to it, we make up stories with it, you know, before we know it, you know, we think, you know, we're just these horrible victims. But none of that is really true. I think probably everything is made up here anyway, so why not make up things that are really fun and exciting and inspiring, and we ought to be able to, you know, help one another do that. When we hang on to that, that stuff is poison for us. And when we hang on to it, we poison ourselves and we poison the environment. And I mean, we see the results of that everywhere. I watched The Cove, the documentary The Cove, about a week and a half ago, and it just had a profound effect on me. And it's not easy to watch, but my son put it in my Netflix queue. And then it came and I thought, oh, because it won an Oscar, you know. And he kept saying to me, have you watched The Cove? Have you watched The Cove? And I said, I don't know if I want to watch The Cove. I'm afraid to watch The Cove. And he would just look at me and say, watch it. You need to watch it. So if you haven't seen it, it's a documentary, and these filmmakers, they really did risk their lives to make this documentary. And it's about a slaughter that goes on in Japan every September, a slaughter of over 20,000 dolphins. And, you know, they force them into a cove, and then trainers come and buyers, and they pick out the ones they want. And then these fishermen get the dolphins to go into this other cove. They force them into this cove that's got three sides of really high cliffs, and there's, you know, layers and layers of blockage, and nobody can get in there. They have guards with rifles and everything. And then they start harpooning these dolphins, babies, mommies, daddies, everybody. And they don't, you know, they don't kill them. They just stab them, and they're all jumping around, and the blood's spurting everywhere. And I know some of you are not happy with me telling you this right now, but... And then they sell the meat as whale meat to the Japanese people, and it's lethal with mercury. So it's a very educational video, but why this came up, I'm just thinking about, you know, there are so many things on this planet going on, and I think in order for them to change, we have to acknowledge that they're there. And then look, because I, you know, at first I wanted to go bomb these people, just murder them all. And then I thought, well, that's not, you know, that's the same energy that they're using over there. So then I thought, well, but what could I do? What could you do? You know, I mean, these people are educating people. It's wonderful, you know, and they got an Oscar, which is fantastic. And then I thought, well, we could communicate with the dolphins and tell them to stop coming there. Don't go that direction. You know, change your travel plans. The flight's been canceled. The cruise has been canceled. You're going over that way now, you know. To just really use our consciousness and our intention and our ability to communicate telepathically to unite with them and help them see. Because if you were driving down the road and I knew the bridge was out, you know, I would tell you, you're used to going 60 miles an hour down this road because the bridge is always there, but suddenly the bridge isn't there. And I want to tell you, don't go that way. Don't go that way anymore. I know that's the way you've been going for years, but the bridge is out and you will die. So I thought, how cool would it be to just get a group of people to start communicating with the dolphins, even if it means going out there and the boats, you know. I read a quote a few months ago, and I don't remember exactly, but it said something like, if what you're doing isn't worth dying for, then it's not worth doing. And I remember when I read it, I just stopped and went, whoa. Well, I love what I do, but I wouldn't die for it, you know. What would I die for other than my children? After I watched that video, I thought, I would die for those dolphins. I would put my life in danger for them because I believe this is probably their planet, and I'm not sure how we ended up here, but, you know, it is 80% water, and we should hope to be as intelligent as they are. So these, of course, are just my personal opinions. Well, I am quite opinionated, but I would love it if you would join me in communicating with the dolphins and telling them, let's find a new route for you. Let's find a different way for you to travel through the sea so that you can, you know, we can continue to enjoy your presence and what it is you have to teach us. On that note, I am going to thank you all for being here, and I send you my love, and I invite you to connect with me, and I want to thank everybody that called in, Kaya and Vicky and Aaron. Thank you for calling, and thank you all for listening, and really feel free to email me or communicate with me, and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you. Bye.